Blog Talk Radio.
To you live from the Baltimore area, and this is the Heart of Love Radio Show. The number here is 646-595-4311. 646-595-4311. You're in for a special treat today. We have calling in on this hour none other than Elder Monica Brown. This woman is an awesome woman of God, I must say, the Houston, Texas area. And she's definitely on fire for the Lord. And if you've been tuning in with me, you've heard her. You've heard her music. You've heard us just talk before. And she's definitely a dynamic preacher and speaker. So we're going to get started in a minute. Now, I'm going to go to Monica Brown in a minute. I'm just going to get started right now by playing a song, this song by Jay Moss. And this is Afraid. You're listening to the Heart of Love.
suffer. If you got God on your side, you ain't got nothing to be scared of.
To the Heart Love Radio Show, and I have a caller calling in live, and I believe this is my special guest for the evening. Hello, caller, you are on live.
Good evening, how are you?
So fine, how are you doing?
I'm good. I got kicked out like four times. I've been calling since like, 5:57 your time? Yeah.
You know the Michael Brown?
Yes, it is.
Elder Michael, it's good to talk with you again.
I know. How have you been?
It's been quite a journey. I can just say it's been quite a journey. In fact, I haven't spoken to you in about a year. I think it's been about a year and a half to almost 2 years.
I think so.
Well, you were one of the first people, so I, now you know. Listen, we follow each other on MySpace, then we're on Facebook.
Yep.
Now, I'll ask this question real quick. Did you put that pick up of your food that you ate?
Huh? On Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
No, I didn't put no pictures up on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I didn't either. I said, okay, she didn't put anything up, so whatever, she forgot.
I had a whole bunch of food. Oh, my God. We had so much food.
Listen, I know you did.
Yeah.
I saw it spread.
Yeah, we had food we didn't even touch.
Well, you know what? I know who you are, but can you just introduce yourself again to the public for me?
Sure, no problem. I am Monica Brown, better known as Elder. Let me see. I have been saved probably a long time. I backslid when I was in my 20s, and I actually, you know, went out there and did everything I thought I was big enough and bad enough to do for the devil. I was the devil's first daughter, and as a result of that, I began to practice like a lot of perverted sins, and God delivered me. Thank God for that, and been back with the Lord since 2002. I was already a licensed minister before I backslid, but then I became ordained a few years ago by Bishop James E. Bolden III of Arkansas. And so graduated from College of Biblical Studies with a bachelor's degree in biblical counseling. I am a current student at Liberty University, where I am working on my master's degree, which I am really deciding if I want to continue in that vein.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I love preaching and teaching and ministering to God's people, so I love that more than anything else in life.
Well, I tell you, you're definitely one who's definitely out there doing it. You're actually doing it, and you're inspiring so many people. You're inspiring so many people, and I've listened to your radio shows, and you don't, listen, you don't hold back. You don't hold back the punches. You just go straight for it.
Yeah, I think that you got to be real in this hour, you know, so we can, you know, understand where we're coming from and what we're dealing with, so we know how to be helpers one to another.
Yeah, you know, and I think the thing about it, Elder, is that it's the fact that it should be real. Like, I teach. And the thing about I'm teaching now, and I was without a job for a while. I know, listen, I put this on Blog Talk. But, you know, I was for a while, I was without a job. I know what people are going through right now, when they don't know how it's going to come, when it's going to come, and all that stuff. But like I said, being real, it's like there's a difference with, you know, you have your things that you go through. When it comes time for you to share light on for someone who's going through something, they don't want to hear popcorn stuff like you know, regular catchphrases that sometimes we as Christians say. They want to hear, like, keep it real. Tell me exactly how I was.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, minister to my problem. Minister to my need. Minister to me where I'm hurting right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when Jesus was ministering, he wasn't saying thou and shalt, and he probably just kept it real. Of course, with King James translation, all the different other parts of speech came to, you know, being. You know, they put that, the talk, their vernacular of their day into that. But as far as Jesus kept it real. And
yes.
Like I said, we're at a point, listen, at least we believe he did. We know he did because the word of God is, boom. Some things are just in the word, and people are like, where is that? It's in the Bible. So like you said, I guess I said all that to say that people want a right now word. They want you keep it real. You know, keep it real that the enemy is actually out there to kill them. You know, and people need to know that. Or it might taste good, it might feel good, but in the end, it's not going to bring you what you thought it would. What are your thoughts on that? Oh, wait a second. I was up here talking to Elder Monica.
Uh-huh.
You had to get used to these controls, I tell you. How about that? I was talking, I was like, oh, Elder Monica not saying anything. This is not like Elder Monica.
I was letting you talk, and I was going to jump in, you know. Once you had, you know, told me to come in, I was going to stay in my lane and just wait my turn.
No, you know what? I accidentally pressed the button. I apologize.
That's okay.
But I was like, how come I don't see a microphone on the controller? I apologize.
Oh, it's okay.
But what do you have to add to that, Elder Monica?
Well, I think you're right that people are in a season right now where they want to hear the truth. And because so many people are losing faith in God and they're losing, you know, faith in the church, because I think we are now coming to a time in our life where people are living so many, they're living double lives. And I would say living hypocritical. And so because so many people are seeing that it's causing them to lose faith in God, lose faith in the church. So those of us who are called as leaders, then we need to make sure that we are lining up with the Word of God. Are you going to do everything perfect? No. Is there some time that you will mess up? Yes. But what does the Bible say? Just man falls, but he gets back up. Falls seven times, but he gets back up. The whole thing is that if you make a mistake, if you fall, get up, repent, and keep moving. You see what I'm saying? But don't let it come to a point where it becomes a hindrance to somebody else's walk. Because like when you said earlier about the situation about not having a job for a season and being unemployed, a lot of times people don't understand the whole faith process. Because there are times that, you know, we go through financially, but God gave us a promise in his word. And when we take it back to the word of God and begin to stand on the word, actually, I'm sorry, let's go back. We begin to read the word, study the word, and apply the word to our life, then we can live the word. And my favorite example of that would be Abraham.
Right.
And remember when God made a covenant with our father Abraham. Abraham, you know, is our father, right? He's one of our fathers, right? According to the word of God. Are you following me?
I'm here. I'm following you.
You sure?
I'm following
you. I won't lose you.
Now, right with you.
I know when you we've been in church and you hear people pray. You know, you're the God of Abraham, you're the God of Isaac, and you're the God of Jacob. You know, we hear that often, right? Well, good.
Right.
He is the God of them, right? But what we fail to forget is that he made a covenant with our father Abraham. And the covenant that he made with him is that he will bless his seed. Okay? He's going to bless his descendants after him. Like he's going to give them land that they did not purchase. And so we read that in scripture where it says, I'll give you land that you didn't purchase, houses that you did not build. But people try to say this is for the old time. No, you need to go back and find out the foundation of your inheritance. And your foundation of your inheritance comes through your father Abraham. Because God made a covenant with him. And he promised him that he was going to bless him and his descendants. He told him that he would make him, what is that scripture? I don't want to quote it incorrectly. When he told him about that he would make him a father of many nations, he told him, he said, I will make you a father of many nations. Okay? Now you must obey this commandment that I've given you, which was that the male children be circumcised, you know, eight days old. Well, he had to start where he was right then, and so he had to begin to circumcise. Yeah, I think at the time Ishmael was 13, I believe. So Ishmael got circumcised at 13, you know, and all the other people, they got circumcised right when God gave the commandment. And then he kept that, when he kept doing what God told him to do. And God told him, I'm going to bless you. And not only am I going to bless you, this is going to be an everlasting covenant with you and your descendants thereafter. So when you start grabbing onto that word and you say, okay, well, God, he made a promise to our forefather. He made a promise to him that he will bless us. And see, because we are walking upright and we're being obedient, when we lose our job or things happen, all we got to do is go back to the word and give God his word and remind God, well, God, you said, this is what you said that you would do. And then we take the word and we stand on it and you pray according to the word of God. And when we start teaching people to take the word and pray according to the word of God, you'll start seeing a lot of change. Why? Because God is obligated to his word. Did I lose my host?
You did not lose me. I'm right here. I am listening. I'm saying amen, 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 amen.
So I just want to throw that out there. I don't know where that really came from, but I just want to throw that out there because I think it's important that we begin to teach people to stand on the word of God and trust God's word. When God has made a promise to us and when he tells us, you know, if you obey and serve me, you'll spend your days in prosperity and years in pleasure. If you be willing and obedient to either good of the land. So if that is for only the old time, then when y'all pray, you stop praying. You know, that you're the God of Abraham, you're the God of Isaac and Jacob. Stop praying that then, because we don't need to hear that. Because if you praying that, I need to know what he did for them, because if he did it for them, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore.
You know,
I change not.
And I think that's the thing that so many of us have to realize that God doesn't change. And if we feel like, oh, he can't do this for me, then, you know, you're already defeated. You're not even allowing him to really work in your life. I agree with what you said about reading the word. How many people actually read? How many people actually read, period?
That's scary. If you are a believer and you don't read the Bible, that's scary. Then you don't know what God has said in his word. You don't know what promises God has made for your life. Because he promised us that the just shall what? Live by faith. But if the just don't read the Bible, then they don't know that.
Yeah.
Because you got to read it.
And there's some Christians who believe, you know, I'm just going to listen to what the preacher says.
Oh, no. I strongly discourage that. I'm sorry. I mean, you listen to them, yeah, but you need to go home and read your Bible. You need to go home and apply the word. You need to go home, get the tape and listen to it again. Get in your word and see what he wrote so you can line that up with, you know, what we lined up with the word of God.
That's it's scary, but it's also true.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary, but it's also true. People actually do that. People, I've heard some people say that, you know, older people, I'll say definitely older people, whereas, you know, back then, there's a thing where the preacher was the only one who was pretty much education, you know, had education. You
mm-hmm.
know, they just went by what the preacher said.
Uh-huh.
Rather than to read the Bible for themselves. Well, better yet, what about this? The whole thing about Christians who, you know, do read, but they're just so busy. And sometimes it's like, you know what? I have to take, no matter how busy, you know, I have to take some time to pray. I have to take time to read the Word. Sometimes we go off of the Word that we even in church spiritually, that we were spiritually fed in church, or that we've learned before, and we just keep on going over, you know, in our mind what the Word is saying.
Uh-huh.
But we have to constantly keep it before our eyes. We have to read it. It just can't go by memory.
Mm-hmm.
Because even with time, you can go back and say, okay, what does John 3:16 say? And then say, oh, wait a second, I don't even remember what John 3:16 says. You know, it's like, what? Like, yeah, I need to, I'm saying that happened to me, but I'm saying that can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm scared if you don't know what John 3:16 said. You learned that in Sunday school. When you was about 5 years old, they taught you that. They didn't teach you nothing else. They taught you what John 3:16 said. You know, but like you said, I'm confused when people tell me they're too busy to read their Bible and, you know, they're too busy to have a relationship with their God. I'm confused. I'm like, wow. But you want him to take care of you and bless you. That's why, you know, people are in the struggle that they're in because they don't trust God. They don't walk by faith. They don't believe the Word. You know, you have to know the Word in order to be a doer of the Word. So you have to take time to study the Word. The Bible says study, you know, to show yourself approved unto God. So you have to get into the Word and study it, and then you have to apply it. Because once you begin to apply it to your life, then you can become a doer of that thing, and you can do it, and you can believe it, and you can walk by faith. But if you don't know the Word, you can't walk by something that you do not know.
Yeah.
I mean, we could tell you all day long what the Word say, but if you don't study for yourself, it's just hearsay. And hearsay is not good. You got to get into it for yourself. You know, that's why I don't like a whole bunch of hooping and hollering. I want you to teach it first, okay? Get it in. And then if you feel the need to get excited, then that's fine. But you need to lay the foundation. So when they walk up out of here, they have some substance, something to hold on to. Something, you know, to hold on past tomorrow, you know, because it's not enough to just go to church on Sunday and get the Word on Sunday and then unable to apply the information that you've learned, because it should motivate you to go home and say, let me pick up my Bible and see what the Word was saying here. Let me see if I can get an understanding of this, you know?
Right.
No, I don't know, but... that's what I think. Something should, you know, should motivate you about wanting to know about your God. Because if you don't know about your God, you don't know what he can do for you. You don't know he able. All you're going to go about is what somebody told you that he can do. You're not going to never know what he can do until you pick up the Word and read it for yourself.
You know, I think that the big thing that you said, the biggest thing that you yourself said, that you have to pick it up for yourself. You know, it doesn't matter that, you know, I read the Bible when I was in high school or college, and now you're in your late 30s, 40s. It's like, come on, you got to spend time. Because really, honestly, when it comes down to it, we spend time with the people that we think are most important in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we
like,
you know, that's going to be front and center. I think now people need to know, you know, and be reminded that, you know, Jesus died for you. You know, that he is real. I think that's the biggest thing that people have a problem with. That they think that their circumstances are just that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see the light. And it's amazing. I tell you, it's amazing to meet people and see people who don't feel like they will ever, ever achieve or even reach for their goals. Nevertheless, that they're all alone, that their life is going to be exactly what it is.
Wow.
So, you know, that stuff is real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It is. It is definitely, definitely real. You know, so I got a question, since we
sure.
are just open forum tonight. What do you think about a What do you think about a married man that's about 25 years old sleeping with a 16-year-old?
You know what? I have to say this. First of all, I'd say this. If they're 16 years old, they don't care how built they are. Keep it real. I don't care how built they are. Mm-hmm. Some of these girls don't look like little girls like when we were younger. I'm like, what, 16-year-old? These girls look like grown women.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go, and they act. These kids act. I know, let me stick with your question. But the point, I had to put a little backdrop in it. The fact that these kids look and they act, some of them, when they want to, like they're adults, but they're not adults. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'll say this, and they're fast, and they know a lot more than what 16-year-olds knew when we were growing up. You know, they learn that before they even hit 10. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that I can say this. I knew of a situation with someone like them, 16. The person hated it. I think the person waited until they might have been 22. And they wait till they're 18 and they're 24. That is a little risque. 16 and 22, that's very risque. Even though it's just 6 years apart, you say 25. That's almost 10 years older. That's
9 years. Well, my thing was the person was married and he was 25. This happened for real. This is a real life situation. This is for real. Guy's 25. He's married. He's a minister of music in a church.
Right.
One of the little girls in the choir, and he's found under her bed.
They found him under her bed? He was hiding?
Yeah, he was hiding from her parents.
And what happened?
What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, he was arrested and charges were filed. He was placed on bond. This is all over the media. This ain't gossip. This is real life because it makes you stop to think, because my thing is, what if it was my child? You know, what if it was my son in that situation? He had did that. And I think that we have to really instill in our children and teach them according to the word of God. That's why I don't understand why the church is scared to talk about sex in the church when all the perversion, the spirit of perversion is strong in the church.
Right.
But we don't want to deal with it in the church because this is a church situation I'm talking about. And so anyway, the church forgave him, and they let him keep his position in the church.
Right.
And he was arrested out on $30,000 bond. He was able to keep his position. I'm in total agreement with the forgiveness. I'm not in agreement with you maintaining your position in the church, because at this point something has to be done. And so when the question was asked, you know, we were talking about it last night. I was on another show last night and we were talking about it. And, you know, they were saying, what message does it send? You know, does it send? You know, and so, of course, my thing is that I don't care who it is. It could be the Pope, the Bishop. I don't care who it is. You need to have a seat for a season in your life. It's time to sit down for a minute because now you need to go back and rethink. Let's go back and rethink this thing through. We got to rethink it through and find out what can we do different here. You know, some counseling needs to be done. And we need to, you know, set and work this thing out because you cannot let a person stay over the people with that type of spirit.
Right.
No, sorry. You got to deal with it. Because it was brought to, you know, if it's different, if you didn't get caught, you know what I'm saying, you didn't get caught, then we don't know. But you got caught, so now we know.
Yeah.
So now because we know, we have to deal with it. You know, it's not sin that we don't know. It's a sin that it's on the news, it's everywhere.
And what they're saying, you know, it's the biggest thing, like you said, what do we say? You know, I know I can't be the first one, you know, to cast a stone. But when you're in that position and it involves a minor like that, you know, for you to keep that really says a lot. That says more. It makes you say, well, what about the church? Why did the church keep them?
Yeah, that's what the people were saying. They were just like, well, what message is that sending? Why you can't find nobody else, you know? I said, well, y'all need to sing a cappella probably for a little bit to find a musician, because if you do it right, then God's definitely going to bless you. And like
yeah.
I said, it's not like it was just a situation that wasn't open. Had it just been where he could go talk to the pastor, they could talk about it, and the pastor can quietly set him down, yes, set him down. But at the end of the day, they were asking a question about the young lady, should she be charged? And I was like, no, she should not. No minor should be charged ever. And the reason why I say a minor should never be charged is because I know girls that I talk to have been having sex and molested rather and taken advantage of since they were 3 years old. I know one girl, her dad started having full sex with her, penetrating her at 5, all the way
Who?
Until she got out the house, a young lady that I know.
Grandparents?
Her father, biological daddy, started penetrating her and her sisters, and she started getting penetrated at 5. I don't know how old her other sisters was when they started being penetrated by their father. So she felt like the only reason she was put, get out, the only reason she was put on this earth was, she thought the only reason put on this earth was to sell her body, basically give her body to a man. So as a young girl, she grew up going to school. Well, before she would go to school, her daddy was a truck driver, so he was always gone. So before she would go to school, she might not even been in middle school yet. It was three guys that would, three older guys that would take her into an empty apartment, and they would all have sex with her. One man at a time, and then give her some money and send her to school. Okay? So she is grown up now. But as a child, had a 20-year-old man been sleeping with her, then no, I still wouldn't have no issue with her, because we are adults for a reason. We are adults for a reason. We have to make an adult decision in situations like that. Yes, she might look good. Yes, he might look good. Yes, they may have, you know, they may have all the right parts and everything else. But at the end of the day, they are still somebody's child. They are a minor. It don't matter how good they look. It doesn't matter how much they come on to you. I don't care if they butt naked and put it in your face. You are an adult for a reason, and you have to make an adult decision. You ain't even got to be saved to make a right decision. It's called being an adult. That's why you're an adult, to make an adult decision. Because you don't know what happened to that child to cause that child to be open and promiscuous the way that child is, or why that child is coming on to you. Like I'm telling you about a young girl I know. That's all she's ever known. Her whole life she's been violated by a man that she trusted. So, of course, you know, some man looking at her, she thinks that she's supposed to give her body to him. It's that situation has never been dealt with. She's never been counseled for that.
Right.
You know, so you know, I still would not be able to bring a charge on a minor, because, like I said, we are adults for a reason, and we got to make adult decisions.
I agree with you. Even like I say, the whole thing about just everything you're saying right now, I'm just like, wow, that's just as bad as the. You know, the dad who, I'm not sure if you've heard about this, this is up here in this area, that there was a guy who, his daughter was not eight years, which is terrible. The daughter was 8 days old.
Mm-hmm.
8 days old, and the father molested.
Uh-huh.
I haven't heard much more about the story, because I heard there are other adults in the house, and when they found what happened, I guess the baby was probably crying and doing all that stuff. Of course, they I guess whoever was there at the house went in and took the baby to the hospital, and of course he was arrested. How can you penetrate your 8-day-old baby girl?
You thought that was something. I'm going to blow your mind in. There was a parent, the mother was, that she had just delivered her baby. The baby was a newborn. The father took his penis out and let the child suck on it like he was sucking a bottle. And the nurse happened to walk in and catch him. And, of course, that child has had a lot of, you know, mental issues and sexual acts from that, just from that one situation.
Just from that?
He was taking, huh?
Just from that?
Just from that. That baby was put, they took the baby immediately from her and him. And the baby was a ward of the state and was put in foster homes and stuff. And they followed the case of that child. Yes, because my sister's mother-in-law is a foster parent. And they went, you know, in the meeting, they were telling them some stories because she had foster kids that was also molested by their father. One child was molested so bad, and her butt, her rectum, to when she used the bathroom, it come out like big balls, and they have to cut it up to make to let it go down into the thing. It was just horrible. Her own father was doing that to her. Mhm.
You know, one thing about kids just don't realize, you know, what goes on with kids. So what happens is that when you come across these kids in another setting, you don't know what's picking them off, what's making them be like that.
Mhm. Yes, we don't know. But I think if we just really go back to the Bible, because we said that we're Christians, so we have to go back to the Bible, and we have to line up with the Word of God. And we have to be doers of the Word, okay? That goes back to reading the Word and studying it. And first of all, we as single people, we're not supposed to fornicate, okay?
Right.
And God, he was so clever and so wise and intelligent when he told us not to. Not only when we have sex, but we transfer spirits. Now you're picking up spirits from different people, and now you begin to act those spirits out, because the Bible says the two become one flesh. So you don't have to just worry about an STD anymore. You don't have to worry about a baby, but you have to worry about spirits attaching themselves to you. And that needs to be at the forefront of your mind when you lay down with someone that you are not married to. And if you love that person that much, you need to do like Beyonce say, put a ring on it. And marry the person. If they are good enough for you to lay up with, they should be good enough for you to marry. Am I saying that you won't mess up in life? No, I'm not saying that you won't mess up. But there's one thing to mess up and another thing to practice a sin. And the Bible says he doesn't know it to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You're saying, well, I just can't help myself. Well, you old enough to get married, you just gonna get married. Do right by the person that you keep laying up with. And then it's really sad when you're laying up with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different people. When you have more than one sex partner, so there's a problem with you. You need to get your happy hips on the altar and be delivered. Because God is here to deliver us. Why? Because we call ourselves leaders. We call ourselves the fourth. The Bible says that if you're going to teach this gospel, then guess what? You got to live by it.
Yeah.
That means you got to obey it because you are called to, the Bible said we are called to a higher calling, and that means we're going to be punished even greater. See, that's a lot of things, that's what people don't understand as leaders. You think you're just going to get, I'm not going to get the same punishment that Tiger Woods going to get if I committed adultery. I'm not going to get the same punishment. Why? Because I'm a leader in the kingdom of God. He might be a leader in the natural, but that don't mean nothing. But I'm a leader in the body of Christ. I'm leading God's people. And I'm standing over God's people, and I'm speaking into their lives, and here I am, can't keep myself together. And I'm steady standing over the people. Instead of me sitting down for a season and getting it together, no, I want to continue to sing and, you know, do praise and worship and all of that stuff and preach and teach. No, you got to get it together. Because if you can't get it together, you can't be over God's people. That's Bible. That's the Bible. That's the New Testament.
You just kept that. So real. And it is, like you said, it is the Bible. With activists, you kept that so real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. It's amazing. I looked at some of the people. I said, well, what made the difference between Tiger Woods when he did this guy made an accident, and then the lady, I guess, she probably was upset because he probably had broken it off or whatever he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how, he's not going to lose any of his endorsements. He's still going to keep his endorsements. You know, they're not, mm-hmm. they're still standing behind Tiger Woods. But I said, what's the main difference between him, Tiger Woods, and the other guy, the basketball player, who, Kobe. Did Kobe lose it? Did Kobe lose his endorsement?
No. Did he?
I thought he did.
Okay. See, I don't know because I don't, I really don't follow. The only reason why I can follow Tiger Woods, though, because it's on CNN. And every time I pull up my AOL, is right there in my face. It's the first thing that popped up in the last 3 days. It's like,
but,
okay.
You know, but you know, I do say this. I think the thing about it is this. I think so many times, I guess the way tradition has been in the church where people will be like, you know, I can do this, I can do that, I can do this, I can do that. And I think that after that people see us, they come to church and like, you know what? That person in church is now just trying to come on to me, you know, and they're married. You know, this person, you know, one thing I tell people, I say, you know, church is for the hurting. It's for the saved, it's for those who are hurting. But at the same time, it's realized that just because you're in church doesn't mean that you're not human. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. But the world, the way I thought the enemies put it, made it seem like, oh, they think they're perfect. So when you found that, oh, that preacher is not perfect, that preacher is this, that preacher is struggling with this, this preacher is dealing with this, this preacher has done this. What's going on? They don't realize, okay, you know what? We're all sinners saved by grace. And it's amazing. I'd say this about the song. I know people get down on Donnie McClurkin for that song, We Fall Down, But We Get Up. But it's true.
Uh-huh. It is.
Who fell down and got up? It's like, no, you're messing with my humanity. I said, humanity.
Wait a minute. You brought it up. You threw it out there. I got to say something. First of all, the people tried to say that it wasn't a Christian song. I mean, not a Christian song. They said it wasn't biblical. So, I mean, it ain't biblical. I said, yes, it is not biblical. The Bible said, just man falls 7 times, but what? He gets back up. I was like, how you going to say that's not a biblical, a scriptural song? Yes, it is. Yes, that's why, that's people that don't know they were. They were repeating basically what somebody else had said. Because they couldn't have been reading their Bible and just missed it. But yeah, somebody told me that. I never forget when that song first came out. It was like, yeah, it ain't biblical. I was like, yeah, it is. It's biblical. Yeah, read your word. Come on. We fall down, but we get up. And you get up with a gratitude and an attitude that, God, I thank you that you delivered me. I thank you that you gave me another chance because you are God of another chance. And, you know, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. And I think we take grace and mercy, the mercy of God and the grace of God, I think we take it for weakness sometimes because we like to wear it out. We do. You know, we all need grace and mercy, but not every time you get caught. It's like you only need it when you get called. You ain't need it when you wasn't called. You just needed it when you got called. It's like, oh, okay, you need grace and mercy now because you called. As long as we didn't see you, you was good. And I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter if I see you. God sees you. And that's all that matters. He sees you. God knows what you're doing. You can't hide from him. So, you know, I mean, I'm not telling you to tell church people your business. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, the point is, don't worry about hiding from the people. Worry about trying to hide from God, which you cannot do.
Yeah.
So that means I got to get to a point where I walk in obedience.
You know, and I think that's the part. It's like, no matter how hard it might seem or appear, get back up. Get back up. No matter what you're going through, don't just settle for it. You know, I think that's the thing that happens that people people just settle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. They do.
You know, they just settle. Like, you know, it's not going to get better. And I tell people, you know, it will get better. Now, does that mean that, I think the biggest thing is this, you know, I'll tell you this, you know, Elder Mark, you know, I didn't tell people that, that I'm an ordained minister, you know, because I said, you know, people don't treat you the same once they find out.
Mm-hmm.
People don't really treat you the same. you know. You know, and you probably know when they hear Elder Monica Brown, you know, people, it's like they're looking even more so the, I'm looking for a reason why I'm not going to church. So I'm going to look at you.
That's it.
A second, you're going to say, but you're a minister. But I'm getting to a point where it's time, you know, because God called me to preach as well, that it's time to let me know. And I'm not just putting it out there so people can know, per se, but you know, people gonna, I guess they're gonna find out. But just let it be known. You know, it's really about what people say, because people gonna say, they're gonna talk anyway.
That's right. You sure right about that. They're gonna talk, it don't matter at the end of the day. At the end of the day, people are going to say what they want to say. They're going to believe what they want to believe. And that's why it's so important to get the word in you.
You know, I'd say that I was listening to a radio show, a radio show, Kendrick Rogers. And I was listening to a show the other day. He's on Blog Talk Radio as well. And you're talking about someone that called, I guess, for FYI, you know, information of what's going on. That. Now I'll tell you more about this later or on Facebook, but it's amazing. One person, I don't know if you heard the story, one particular artist, I'm not saying his name, you know, I'll let you know, but this one artist apparently was mentoring another artist, and the main artist got caught having an affair or his wife.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I heard about that.
Well, you heard about that, and then you heard that his the person he was mentoring, his mentee, was... His mentee, the person he was mentoring, was sleeping with his mentor's wife.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So I said in my mind, I said, I can just imagine sitting around the table and, you know, bring two brothers together. And one brother said, yeah, you know, I'm trying to, I mean, you don't know, I'm just speculating. I'm trying to do better, but I'm not doing better. And I'm still attracted to this other lady right here. And then while you're talking to your person you're mentoring, your person you're mentoring is saying, yeah, and I'm taking care of the slack of how badly you're treating your wife. I said, oh, man. And label, I think this just happened, right?
Yeah, this just happened a few weeks ago, yeah.
And I think the label dropped both of them.
I don't know if he dropped the guy whose wife it was. I know that he did. They did drop the other guy, though. But both of them was married.
Both of them married, right?
Mm-hmm. Both of them was married.
But you know, one thing, Monica, I don't do, I'm just going to tell you, in my life, God has always shown me that when you judge, when you say, how could they, you always end up in that same predicament.
Yeah.
Judge. And, but I was disheartened to hear that. And I mind you, I'm not acting on Monica like I don't have my struggles. I think we all have our issues that we're dealing with, that God is working with us through and working through us. You know, so I'm definitely not going to try to sit here and act as if I'm holier than thou. I'm not gonna do that.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing is, I'm trying, you know, and but I'm saying, I just said, wow. You know, when you think about these artists, when you think about both of those artists, and for a second, I'm not gonna put their names out on the show, but when you think about both of those artists, I'm like, wow, one is on the rise, both of them are pretty much on the rise.
Mm-hmm,
One is a little bit more than the other, but I'm like, oh man. So what do you say when other people see this and you want them to come to church and you want them to be a part church? They're like, look, they're out there having affairs, and it's just amazing how I'm thinking that the other one was doing it, and then the other one saw, hey, you're neglecting your wife. So that means he's not even paying attention to her needs. And he's married himself.
Yeah. It's just it's a reproach on the body of Christ. It really it just becomes a reproach on the body of Christ at the end of the day. You know. And if something has to, you know, change has to take place. So, and the change comes with having a true relationship with God. That's what it comes from. Not saying, like I keep saying, I'm not saying that you're perfect and you won't make mistakes, but you start to think, you take a second look to say, okay, no, I can't do that and better not do that. You know, and if I do that, you know, I get up quickly, not trying to stay there, you know, because none of us want to stay there, you know.
Yeah.
When you really have a relationship with God, you don't, you fast, you pray, you do whatever it takes to be delivered and stay delivered.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we're definitely, I'll say that we're definitely in a place right now where I feel like God's telling us, you know, you got to get together. Get yourselves together. Do what you got to do. The one thing, never want to, especially when you're in leadership like we are, you never want your sin to be, boom, just put on blast like that. I think it's God saying, you know, let's get it right
mm-hmm.
now, before that.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm thinking, how many chances did they have before this went public like this?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And God does. I mean, he doesn't just shoot you. I mean, he gives you opportunity to get it together. He does, you know.
But I think that situation really sobers you. Because it's like this, Monica. You know, you have your websites. We both have our websites. And once you're out there on pullback, I'll put you anywhere. You might go somewhere and somebody say, Elder Monica. Don't even know. You might not have even seen them before. But they've seen you. Elder Monica, I'm on your Facebook. I'm on your Facebook friends. I'm on your MySpace friends.
Uh-huh.
And
yep.
You just never know. And, wow. It's really,
you don't
know. Really,
that's why you have to always be ready. You know.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I'm so sorry. I think we're probably fighting. Do you have Skype?
No, I don't have Skype. Not yet.
Okay. That's real. It's nothing expensive about Spike. It's real inexpensive and real easy to use. But I know I think about some times when there's some things I like to do. Like I like to drink. I don't drink, but there are certain drinks I like. I like sour drinks.
Right.
But because I'm sanctified and I'm just doing the world, then I don't drink no more. Do I ever have a desire? Of course I have a desire. But I can't get into my desires.
Right.
You know, is there some desires I have given into before? Yeah. You know, but things that other people could just really see, nah, because I don't want to be a hindrance to them. You know, where drinking has never been a struggle for me, ever. It's never been a struggle for me. But it's probably a struggle for somebody else.
Yeah. I always say it was, if my drinking is, if, like I said, like you said, now sometimes I like to have some wine, sometimes I like to mix drinks myself. Now, I'll do that by myself if I'm someplace else, but if it's going to cause you a problem to see me drink, I just won't drink in front of you.
Mhm. Yeah, and so I just took it to a different, you know, I just don't do it. I don't do it at all because, you know, I got to be comfortable, and there's nothing at my house that I would like. I don't drink wine. You know, I like something sour, like a margarita or something. So I just don't do it, you know, because it's something I did when I was in the world, you know, and so I just don't do that no more. So because I don't do it anymore, then it's like when I'm out with people, you know, and they do it, I just look at them, you know, and you pretty much be able to tell, you know, if I liked it or not, because I probably won't have you in my company again if you just basically disrespected me. You know what I'm saying? Now I have friends that drink that I know drink. Okay, when I'm in their company, they present, they do what they want to do. guess what? I'm with them. You know what I'm saying? This is they house, they gathering, whatever. I can't tell them what to do with their house and they gathering. But now when I invite you to something that I'm having, you gotta respect my space. You have to respect me. You know what I'm saying? When I come to your house, it's your house. It's your gathering. But when you come to mine, you can't bring your drink and you can't drink here. You know, I have a child. I have a son and I have a daughter. I don't drink in front of my children. So nobody else can drink in front of them.
Well,
not at our house.
How old are your kids?
19. My daughter's 19. My son is 13. And my spiritual daughter is 22 and a half.
You know, I'd say it's already over. I mean, I'm sorry, how old are they now?
My daughter is 19, my son is 13, and my spiritual daughter is 22 and a half.
No, listen, Anna Monica, you look like you're in your 30s. I don't even believe you have
he promised that he will preserve your youth.
Hey, Anna Monica, I have to know. On the line, is it okay to keep it?
Yes, you sure can.
Okay, and I'll keep going after the show, but I want to say this real quick. You know, it's funny. It's not funny. It's amazing. You know, we just had this conversation, and someone just sent me this email. Holy hypocrisy. Christian label suspends rapper for ex-marital affair. So it's already out, you know.
Yeah, it's a field that's already out, so yeah, I'm sure.
And so,
I think it's like three of them they did this year.
Yeah, the truth. The truth is the rapper.
Yeah, it is the truth. And I was really sorry because my daughter, my 22-year-old, my spiritual daughter is 22, went to go see him, and she had just saw him a couple of months ago, and he was saying that he don't do that type of stuff, and she had just said that to them. And then here they see that, you know, and then it's just hard for our young people, you know. Is it, you know, we got to live a life for them. We got to do it for them.
You know what?
So we're down to what, 2 minutes, 3 minutes?
And yeah, 3 minutes. You know, wow. I'm looking at this. BB booted. Oprah Winfrey removes Winans from her talk show. I'm like.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I read that too. Yeah, that was. That was hilarious.
Why she boot him?
Hmm.
You know how she booted him?
Yeah, because when the thing went down with what's that boy, the little boy named Chris Brown?
Yeah.
When he did what he did to his girlfriend, people were saying that she was being biased because she didn't do anything to BB. And he had, you know, shoved his wife or whatever he did to his wife. So she had to take a stand and, you know, do something. Because she was getting some flack about that. Yeah.
You know what? You know, it's amazing that, you know, we really, in that situation, we really, really don't know. And it seems like, I'm excited because I can say now that my CD is going national next year. My TV's finally going. But I'm telling you, Ed, I'm like, God, like, you know, get your stuff together now. Imagine, whatever you've done in your past is your past. But whatever you're doing now, and you out there, and we're promoting with our ministries and with our music, you know, it's like people, the world wants to put Christian artists on display.
Yes, they sure do. You're right, they sure do.
They're waiting. So even to read this, I'm like, oh, man, you and I was talking about this, but real quick, you know, Ed, I'm going to have you on here again so we can finish out.
Well, no problem. Well, it was nice talking to your wonderful guest, and remember that if you have never received Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, repeat this small prayer after me. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and that he was buried. And on the third day, you raised him from the dead. I open the door to my heart and I receive you into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. According to that prayer you just prayed, Jesus Christ is in your heart as your Lord and Savior. And if you are not in a local church, we encourage you to find a church where you can grow in the Word of God and where you can grow in the things of God. And remember that Jesus Christ, He is Lord. He loves you, and so do we. God bless y'all. All right, man of God, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, now real quick, where can they find you? Where can they find you?
At www.monicabrownministries.com. Once again, that's www.monicabrownministries.com.
Thank you, Monica Brown, and I'll be getting with you soon so I can at least have you on the next couple, 2 weeks, hopefully. The schedule is free, so we actually give you on what you're doing.
Okay, love. Well, give me a call and you have a blessed evening. I'm going to finish cooking my dinner so I can eat.
Okay.
I can feed my kids.
All right.
Yep. I got to feed these children their food. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And guys, feel free to tune in again next Tuesday from 6 to 7 and then next Thursday from 6 to 7 as well. Feel free to go to www.gwriteonline.com. If you would like to email me, my email address is gwriteonline@yahoo.com and twitter.com/gwritesync. God bless you guys.